Let's go into the word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught this evening. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the simplicity of God's word. And we declare and decree this evening that at the end of today's meeting, our saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel 28. If you can, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel 28. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in where? Heaven and in the earth. He says, go ye therefore in that authority and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, right? And of the Son, and of the what? Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded thee. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Now we see fundamentally, this is what we term as the Great Commission, right? And the Great Commission of Jesus asking, you know, disciples to go into the world and preach the good news for what it is. So he says, go into the world and preach the good news, right? Go into the world and preach, rather, the gospel. Yeah, go into the world and preach the gospel. Go into the world and go in there and teach all nations, rather. Mark 16 will say, go into the world and preach the gospel. So this is so fundamental to the Christian faith because it is our Lord and Savior that is giving the instruction. So it means, yeah, this is Matthew's documentation, right, of the 40 days teaching. That 40 days teaching, Acts 1, Acts chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, from what I read to you, if you lost, you know, Luke writes the book of Acts, having written the book of Luke. Are we together? You know, he says, until the day which was taken up by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Ghost, he was taken up unto heaven. He was found teaching or speaking about the things concerning the kingdom of God for 40 days, right? So that is what Matthew summarizes as going into the world. So it means, listen to me carefully, it means that the summary of Jesus' 40 days teaching is an instruction. Or it means that the summary of Jesus' teaching in for 40 days can be summed up with an instruction. Or it means that the summary of a 40 days teaching or the theme of a 40 days teaching will successfully end with an instruction. Are we together? So what Matthew will summarize in 3 verses is an extension of 40 days teaching. Are we here? Right? So he says, go ye into the world and preach. Now, Luke will record that. Look at Luke's narrative. So where did you say we should go to? So look at Luke 24. Don't forget that the summary of 40 days teaching, Matthew summarizes it with a concept of an instruction going into the world. What am I saying this evening? That there's an instruction that Jesus gave. So look at Luke 24:24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said. But him they saw not. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet hath spoken. Now ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to what? Enter into his glory. Now 27 together, 1, 2, 3, go. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Are we together? Right? So what Acts will say, 40 days teaching, speaking about the kingdom of God, Matthew will say, okay, all power is given unto me in heaven, and then go into the world and preach and teach all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to all things. Yeah, Luke will tell you, O fools and slow of heart to believe what the prophet has spoken, unto Christ has already stand into glory. And beginning at Moses and the prophet, he expounded unto them the things concerning himself. Now look at verse 44. He says, and he said unto them, now that he said unto them, in the real sense, like I said over and over, is not a one-off conversation. Are we together? So if you look at verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe what the prophet has spoken. Right? So in as much as it looks like an immediate single conversation after he said unto them, we need to actually look critically to be sure what is being said. So in verse 44, he says, these are the words which I spake unto you. So a good way to read that would be, and he kept saying unto them, right? Are we here? Right? And he kept saying unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses. Now, remember, when you see the Bible use the word law, a word gets its definition from its surrounding context, right? So ideally, you know, while we were growing up, a lot of times, when you say law, what comes to your mind? Ten Commandments. Number one, if I ask you if they say law, what comes to your mind? And you say the writings of Moses. You are using your renewed mind to answer that question. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? When they say law, when they say writings of Moses, no, you are using your renewed mind. What used to come to mind when they say the law? Fast, 10 commandments. Are we together? Yeah, but when Jesus says, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms, is he talking about the 10 commandments of Moses? No. Yes, so the law of Moses is actually going to be what? The writings of Moses. Are we together? So the writings of Moses, so he is saying that before the crucifixion, after the crucifixion, the message is the same. Are we together? So if the message after the crucifixion is going into the world, the message before the crucifixion will be the same. Are we together? Yeah. So, but in the real sense, the concept is that people will need to believe in that resurrection before they know what to go into about, or go about, or go about, or what to go, or what to go in reference to, or in regards to, or how to go really. Yeah, because it is upon proper teaching that you know what go will imply. Are we together? You know, I can say go out of that door and wait for me. Or I can say go out from that door and bring the generator battery for me. Right? You can go out there and begin to look for generator battery and you will not see. But I can as well say go out of that door. Once you turn to your right, you see a white big generator. Once you open the two doors, you see a battery in front of it. Go there with the spanner and loosen it. Which one is more detailed? So if I send two people with that, with the two instructions I gave, I should expect a positive or a better result from someone who I have equipped with proper what? Information. So if Jesus is going to the world, it means that there's a proper information he has equipped them with for them to go into the world with. Are we together? Yeah. So it means that there will not be any instructions from Jesus without proper. I know it sounds so inspirational right now. Yeah. So there will be no instruction without information. Yeah, you entered, right? Yeah, there will be no instruction without. So for every instruction, there must have been an information before the creation of the instruction. Yeah, and all of that. So Jesus will feed effectively. So why are we doing this? Why are we coming together to learn God's word? Why are we coming together and spending time learning God's word? It is because we need to be well equipped with the right information to obey the instruction rightly. Are we together? Yeah, you know, learning how to go out to talk to people without being a Christian, you can do it. How many of you were in debate when you were in school? Yeah? You used to do debate when you were in school, right? And you argue, and always end with something like, I hope with these few points of mine, you were talking for 30 minutes, you say few. I hope with these few points of mine, I've been able to convince you and not to confuse you that what? Medicine is better than drug. And you know, we used to have a lot of things we used to defend. And when you look back, you're like, what were you really defending? Yeah. Because in the real sense, my heart is saying this one, engineering is better than medicine. But because my class is doing medicine better than engineering, I have to now prove that mercy is better than engineering. And my heart is actually, I know, in my, and I'll still tell you, I hope I didn't confuse you. Are we together? Yeah, but the art of convicting started there. Or we started learning that practice there. So you didn't have to be one who understood the Bible to be able to face the crowd to convince. But the truth remains that before you can come and stand in front of people and give adequate conviction or to put them in a place of convincing, yeah, you must have the right what? Information. So that's why when you say the first one, you say the second one. Usually fight against medicine and farmers. Is it medicine? One used to go with farming very. Is it doctor? Doctors and farmer. Yeah? And so you say, for the doctor, if you are sick, who will treat you? And the farmer too will say, if you're hungry, how will you get food? If a farmer doesn't plant, how will you get? Somebody that is fighting for farmer will say, without doctor, you can use herbs to heal. So at the end of the day, you are fighting, but it doesn't change the fact that there was a proper research that was done back door before you came to prove or to present. So that's the concept about the Christian faith. So if Jesus' summary by Matthew is going into the world, it means that he has given them what they need to go with. altogether. So that's why Luke 24 now comes in handy. You now see, I'm beginning at what? Moses and the prophets. He expanded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And he says, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which is in the law of Moses and in the Psalms and in the prophets concerning me. So I want to pay a little attention to a few things, you know, in the writings of Moses. So look at Jesus again in John. Look at Jesus again in John. Look at John. Let's see John 1:45, then John 5:39. Look at John 1:45. You can tell I'm excited to stand in front of you all on Wednesday to preach. I don't know if you know, but I'm excited. Yeah. Look at John 1:45. It says, Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Are we together? So we have found him whom Moses in the law, right? That law, is it Moses in Ten Commandments? Right? So can we say Moses in the law is equal to Moses in his writings? Yeah. So is there the law of Moses that speaks about the Ten Commandments? Now, is there a law of Moses that speaks about the writings of Moses? So the content determines which is being spoken about. Yeah, so if you go to chapter 5, you see the same John chapter 5, verse 39. It says, he shares the scriptures and I think in them you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. They which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. He now says, do not think in verse 45, I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Yeah, we need to pay attention to that verse, but in days to come. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Are we together? He says, but if you believe not the writings of Moses, yeah, how shall you then believe my words? So Jesus affirms that his words or his teachings will be from the writings of Moses. What you call what? Genesis? Exodus? Leviticus? Numbers? Deuteronomy? Are we together? Now, let me say something very important, but we'll pay attention to in years to come. Please, listen to me carefully. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We associate them with who? Moses. But do you know that it wasn't Moses that wrote all of them? Well, let me say it this way. Not everything in those books were written by Moses. What book records the death of Moses? What book records the death of Moses? Death of Moses. If you open Joshua, Joshua already starts with Joshua the son of Nun. So Moses still. Mm-hmm. Do you have the record of Moses' death in Deuteronomy? We do. Yeah, we do. We do. We have the death of Moses. Is it Moses that wrote it? Yeah, so I'm not going to pay attention. That's not what I'm looking at today. Yeah, so in fact, it's something we'll come to study along in the next few years. There's still time, Nabi. You'll come to study a few things. You know, there's still time, Nabi. You're laughing. You know, Genesis 1, we actually even try to explain even when Moses that wrote it. So Moses in Genesis chapter 1, go to Genesis 1 with me. Genesis 1, right? Are we there? Let's see something quickly. So we're looking at Moses from Genesis this evening. Now look at Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was what? So the seed was upon the earth, and the fruit was to bring forth fruit after he is kind. Are we together? Now, what does John Piper tell you? Do not think I have come to accuse you before the Father. Right? There is one that accuses, even Moses, in whom you trust. Verse 46. For I did believe Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. And if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So Genesis is associated with Moses. Are we together? So it means that in reading Moses' writings, you need to see what Moses is really saying. All together. Let's do a quick study quickly, right? So, seed. Now, when seed comes to your mind, when seed is heard, what comes to your mind? Yeah, when seed comes to your mind, when you hear seed, what comes to your mind? Tree, okay. How does tree, okay, tree, okay, I know I asked what comes to your mind. So, that's your unique mind, right? Eh? Bracken. When somebody says seed, what comes to your mind? What comes to your mind? No, don't put the context. What comes to your mind when somebody mentions seed? So if you go to a farmer's farm, and the man is talking about, Sukomi, bring those seed for me. You are thinking Christ. That's what I just asked you. That's not the Bible. Please, I'm talking to people who want to not be biblical now. So when seed comes to my welcome, what are you hearing behind seed? Reproduction? Land? That's a unique mind. Eh? Famine? Somebody will still say the next fruit after orange. Somebody will still say it just now. Yes? Just say it. Eh? It's watermelon now. So when they say seed, watermelon comes to your mind. And I'll go near. Yeah? So, when it says seed, don't you think beginning? That's figurative. I didn't even hear what you are saying. Eh? That's your unique mind. Wait, are you talking about my own unique mind or his own? My own. No, I didn't say what comes to my mind is beginning. Abi, I didn't say what comes to my mind is beginning. What did I say? I did not say beginning. I said beginning, but I did not say that is what comes to my mind. Yeah, I asked the question. It was rhetorical now, right? I said, does beginning come to your mind? Is that how I said it? And don't you think beginning? Exactly. So when I say don't you think beginning, is that what I'm not confessing that's what came to my mind now. It's over my mind that I said it. Okay, so out of my mind came for beginning. But when you think about seed, you are thinking about the beginning of a plantation. Altogether, every plant starts with the seed. What does the word start? Begins with the seed. What is begin? Beginning. Altogether. So in the beginning, yeah, you have to find the seed. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. You should see the seed there. Now, in the writings of Moses, you see the narrative of fruits producing after his kind. Are we together? Right? So, a seed, does it produce after his kind? Does a seed produce after his kind? So, it means that when you plant a maize seed here, and you go and come back after 3 years, what fruit should you see? Maize. So, if you see beans, what is that message to you? It means that somebody removed your seed and planted another one. Right? Can you plant beans here? And you come back 1 year without anybody touching that you are seeing beans. What will come to your mind? Magic in the land. In the land, Sister Rosie's land. She understands what I mean. If you don't get it, forget about it. Hallelujah. So, in the beginning, you will see the seed. Moses tells in Genesis 1, verse 11, the seed will produce after its kind. That is basic plantation theory. You get that? Yeah. So, if you want to start a rice plantation, you start with the seed. So you have every right to say that the seed will produce after its kind. And if you say that, will you be correct? So it means that whatever you call the harvest that comes from the seed, that the seed that started the process, is going to be of the same family. Are we together? Look at John 12. John 12. John chapter 12. Are you in John 12? Look at John 12, 24. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man or a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abideth not alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Are we together? Yeah? So, falling to the earth will speak about the death. Are we together? Are we together? So, okay, if you look at the preceding verse, look at verse 23. It says, "And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come." What hour would that be? The hour of his work, right? The work that he needs to do. "So the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies." So that means he's linking the hour that is to come with a corn of wheat that falls to the ground and dies. So he says, "Except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth what? Much fruit." So it means that if you finish drinking orange and you pick your seed and put on your table and put in a glass and use mopo to guard it, when you come back 3 years after, you finish paying them salary, what will you see with that seed? The same seed. So if you want to see that seed bring much more after 3 years, what do? That seed must die. That seed must fall to the earth and die. So Jesus links the conversation of the sin or the corn of wheat that dies to the conversation of the hour that is coming. Are we together? Are we together? So when you think seed, you think the beginning of a journey. Are we together? When you think seed, you think the starts, the start point, right? You think the beginning. You think the origination. So you see a tree that is grown and you say that, oh, that originated from a sort of seed. Yeah, you see a plantation, oh, that originated from seeds that died. Now, like I said again, for every seed, right, that produces after its kind, it means that the nature of that, so it means that, look at this way, it means that in that seed is a future. Are we together? It means that, for instance, you are in that future of that seed. Do you get that? So it means in you, there's an ability to produce after your kind. Yeah, so you have to be careful with the choice of words now, okay? So there's an ability in you. Yeah, so you have the nature. Let's start this way. You have the nature of that seed. Are we together? You have the nature of that seed. You have the nature of that seed. Yeah, you have. So for every harvest from a seed, it has inherited something from the seed. That's nature. Are we together? So Jesus, for instance, like I jumped into a few things, right? So Jesus, for instance, the first seed produces after his kind. In the real sense, there is now, so God's seed now lives in you. Is that true? Look at John 1. Look at John 1. John 1 quickly. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. John 1, 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the what? The Word was God." Say, "The Word was God." The Word was God. Yes. So he now says, "The same was in the beginning with God." Remember, for every beginning, what do you need? The seed. So when he says the same was in the beginning with God, it means that when we see the beginning, you look for the seed. So what is the seed in John 1:1? The Word, right? So in the beginning was the Word. You know, Luke now tells you the Word of God is the seed, right? The seed is the Word of God when he speaks about the parable. So this, the Word of God in John 1 is the seed. So can we say in the beginning was the seed? Yeah? And the seed was with God, and the seed, are we here? So he now says the same was in the beginning with God. He now says all things were made by him, and through him, right, was not anything that was made. In him Who is that him? The seed? John calls it the word. So in the word was life. Right. So if you hold a seed, is there life in the seed? So the life in the seed to reproduce must die. So in him was life, and it qualifies life to be the light of men, and the light shines in darkness. So in the seed is life. Right? And it says it is the life, or the life was the light of men. So Jesus is the word at the beginning. So you are the word at the beginning. For we got the light was God. Yeah? You are the seed at the beginning, and you are the light of men from the beginning. Yeah? I just brought everything together. Right. So in the beginning was the word, and the word was God. We paid attention to that verse in our last 3 days in Bible seminar. We were talking about when it says the word points to God, and the beginning was the word, and the word points to God, and the word is God. Right? Yeah. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Now, so all things were made by him. This him, yeah, what kind of him it will be? All things were made by him. Is it all things were made by the word? Is it going to be made by the seed? What will be the harvest of all things? Or what will all things be if we are to look at it from a point of harvest? People or things? It has to be people. Because your seed will produce after your kind. Do you get that? Right? And so all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus is the word at the beginning. Jesus is the what? The seed at the beginning. So it means that the work of salvation, which the seed will do, will be explained as a harvest. Are we together? You see, your harvest is a proof that you've done a good work with the seed. The harvest is a proof that you've done a good work with the seed. So if seed, see, when you think seed, the end goal of seed is to bring forth harvest when it is properly taken care of, or properly handled. So your seed is planted, what you are thinking is harvest in the next 3 years. See, you know, there's something you want to reap. Are we together? So it means that the work of salvation will be explained as a harvest. So when you think seed, you are thinking of the new beginning or a beginning. So if John tells you, listen to me everyone please, if John tells you that in the beginning was the word, I would say the word is the seed. So if it means in the beginning God created heaven and earth, you must find the seed there. Are we together? So it means that the seed will do a work, and because it tells you that in him was the light of men. Are we together? So in the beginning of Moses, for instance, he will speak about a people. Now we need to pay attention quickly. Why did Moses write the way he wrote? Look at Matthew 19. Let's quickly say a few things this evening. Look at Matthew 19. Matthew 19, chapter 1. Matthew chapter 19, verse 1, rather. Matthew 19, verse 1. Are we here, Avigano? Are you here, Avigano? You know, before I answer the question online, now you have to answer. Are you here? Have you gone home? At home. Welcome home. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. Now the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Right? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read? Have ye not what? Read. Now, do you suppose it is because they read they asked that question? Do you understand? You see why. Look at verse 7. Then say unto him, why did Moses? Do you understand? For them to have known what Moses said, it means they've read Moses. What did Jesus answer them with first? Have you not read? Yeah, that's similar to understandeth thou what thou readest. Did you get that? Did they read? Yes. What was the first question he asked them from their reading spree? Have you not read? Right. So they asked a question from what they read, and he answered them with a question, or he gave them an answer to ask them about their action. They have read. And he comes and says, have you not read? You know, is like in school. You write an examination. Yeah, the result is the proof of what you read. So you can write your examination and come out an examination. Oh, I tear that paper. Remember, you say, physics 202. That one is down that course. until the score shock you. until the score shock you. there are some exams you will be confidently sure about. I think a lot of times it deals with a lot of the science related courses that, and this is not to say, you understand, yeah? Okay, yeah? So a lot of times you will just solve so that, sometimes you can meet the exam, is in the exam hall, you will be solving. Everybody will be looking at you, collect extra sheets. Laplace theorem, you integrate, you differentiate, you see, you now write QED. Okay, no, you don't all understand QED, that's fine. Yeah, you now write QED below. Result come out. If you now have interested teachers, the way they break result news is by only two people. Only two people. Where do you go? Could cross sea. And you've already gone for prayer rally. You go for prayer rally. They've rallied around you. You rally around everybody. You've gone for believers meeting. They've told you to go ahead. You two at that point, they said you go see. You were expecting A. But that part already you call C. You have dropped the word of knowledge. What I'm not saying, you will get A or B. Your expectation right now is now in the now. You know, faith is now. It's about now. It's about now. It's two people at sea. I should be me and another person. It's okay. They mention the first name. So you just mentioned. They mentioned the first name. I said, yeah, just sure. I'm waiting for J. Unfortunately, your lecture that was. Do you understand? So, when you see your exam script, you read well, you wrote well. You know, let me tell you one thing I used to do in school then. Yeah, I cannot read, and you don't ask me what I read. No. That's what I ask, because. Anything you ask, I must write what I read. Yeah, I've never in my life submitted an exam sheet and only had you use half. No. You will write everything. It doesn't lead to the question. You connect the question. You said they say find X. You'll be finding P, but you are writing X. Don't replace X with P. XP with X in your head. Understand? It's really there's some courses then in school where they will ask you to prove a formula. I don't know if you know how to well, they say you prove quadratic equation. Somebody say why is sister saying yes? Havana. No, quadratic equation is it's a proof quadratic equation. If you first start take half the square of b, multiply on both sides, all those kind of things, right? Yeah, and you prove, and that means that's all you read alone. You enter exam or they say prove Pythagoras theorem. You will prove that you will prove it. You say QED as well. Yes, I know a lot of times you might have a fortunate lecturer who will just give you plus two marks for writing all around the paper, but you shall get something that you read. He didn't ask you the question, what will you tell them at home? So I just said all of that to say this. There is a way you can read and write the exam. And the first question your lecturer will ask you is, have you not read? Right? Did you not read your book? And that is a voice and that is loud by your result. You don't have to say it vocally. Do you understand? So ideally you read. You felt okay. Now, they read. They felt okay. You know, You know, when you ask questions, it looks like you are trying to understand, but something is just missing. You want to just get so that it will click. And he came with a question and he says, have you not read? So he takes them back to their book. The same way your lecturer will take you back to your notebook. A good lecturer. Because some other good lecturer is not your notebook, you will find the answer. His textbook, page 1020. And they have expected you to have read it. But the point is this. You know, if you read holistically, you would have a better score. That's a good lecturer. Right. So he takes them back and says, have you not read? Have you not read? Are we together? Are we together? So have you not read in verse 4? That he which made them at the beginning made them male and what? Female. And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall, and they twain shall be what? One flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has what? Joined together, let not man put asunder. And together, they said unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? What did he say? Moses, because of the what? Hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the what? From the what? Beginning, it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery, and also married her, if the widow commit adultery. I want to get that is based on Moses' what? Law. Now, so it means that Moses wrote and said a lot of things because of his audience, sorry. Yeah, Moses wrote and said a lot of things because of his immediate audience. What is the state of heart of his immediate audience? Hardness of heart. So it means that when you read Moses, you should have in mind that he is writing to a people with a type of heart. So it means that if you have their type of heart, you might get to their conclusion. Are we together? So Moses will use parables. Look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13 verse 10. Moses will use parabolic examples. Parabolic, because for instance, the seed produces after itself. Is that not a parable? It was a parable. Yeah? Using of illustrations to point to other illustrations, or using one story to point to another story. Remember 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, we paid attention to the parable that this guy gave David. What's his name again? Nathan, yeah? Nathan gave David a parable and said, well, there was a man who dispossessed a parable, right? He didn't know that story was pointing to another story. I want to get, so look at Matthew 13, verse 10. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. So he says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speaketh thou unto them in parables? He says, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not what? Given. For whosoever hath, Matthew 13, 12, whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of what? Isaiah, that's Isaiah, that said, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not what? Understand. And your seeing ye shall see, and shall not what? Perceive. He says verse 15, for this people's heart is what? So why did Jesus teach in parables? Because the people's heart will wax strong. Why did Moses teach in parables? Because they had the hardness of heart. Altogether. So you see Moses in Israel. Look at Exodus. So hold your hands in Matthew 13. Yeah. Look at Matthew. Hold your hands in Matthew 13 actually and go to Exodus 32. Exodus 32 verse 9. Exodus 32 verse 9. Are we there? Are we there? Exodus 32 verse 9. Are we there? And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. What does stiff-necked mean? Their neck is stiff. Is that? Yeah? So stiff-necked is figurative for what? Stubborn. Or what Matthew writing will call what? The hardness of the heart. Look at Deuteronomy 32. See, those people were very interesting people. Very, very interesting people. Moses just stepped away for a few milliseconds. Chop, chop, they have their God. Abi? Quickly, they beat their God. They say, yeah. But we called him, he did not pick his call. And we can't be without a God. Very, very, very fast people. Are we together? So, stiff-necked will mean they were stubborn or rebellious. Look at Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, 20. You know, I was saying something earlier on, right? Have you seen it? Okay, look at Deuteronomy 32, 34. So let me just show you quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 5. Are you there? Have you seen what I was saying earlier? Have you seen it? Have you seen it? Please, everybody, open it. Let's read together. Deuteronomy 34, 5. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the what? And he buried him in the valley of the land of... Who is the he that was buried? Who was the him that was buried? Moses was buried, right? Uh-huh. So, and he buried him in the valley of the land, right, of Moab, over against Beth-Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre until... This, the old was Moses, verse 7. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes was not dim, nor his natural force abated. What a man. So, is it Moses that wrote Moses died? In verse 32. I now know where he was buried. After he was died, he now tells you where he was buried. Do you understand? So, it's something we need to study exhaustively. Right, so Deuteronomy, in as much as you say the writings of Moses, some of those, a few chapters here and there, verses there were written by people on his behalf. Did you get that? So go back to chapter 32. Look at chapter 32, verse 20. And he said, "I will hide my face from them, and I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very forward generation." Altogether, very, very, very forward generation. Children in whom is no faith. What does that mean? Hardness of heart. Another word, unbelief. Another word we saw, stiff-necked in Exodus. Another word we can say again. Can we say rebellious people? Rebellious people. So those were the people Moses dealt with. Let me tell you, dear saints, it is not difficult. It is very difficult to lead a rebellious person. It is very difficult to lead one rebellious. Think about yourself now. Think about yourself. Think about where you are coming from. Then imagine leading a rebellious nation. A nation that has been well influenced by rebellion. I know rebellion is impressionable. Do you understand? Yes, contagious. You know, rebellious is contagious. It is. And it even shocks you the way it goes. So Moses was dealing with a rebellious people. You know the funny thing about it? A rebellious people who had seen tangible physical signs, miraculous signs. Let's not go into the miracles those people saw. Let's not go. There was no T.M. Luino in the bush. I hope you know. You know what TML means? The shirt company. Eh? Nobody was selling rope in the bush. Oh. I mean, you think as they were going, they were carrying their sewing machine. Eh? They saw the miraculous. They saw the snake by them. Somebody put, Moses put bronze. They say, look. Snake. This day and time with the exposure you have. Even if your pastor here, snake bites you here. Pastor say, look at this bronze. He say, oh God, let this bronze follow me as I go to the hospital. I say, scorpion. Scorpion, even so dance. Do you understand? They saw the miraculous. Moses was a man. But yet, they were still what? stiff necks. Have I taught you the plagues of Egypt? Oh, no, I haven't. Okay. So, Deuteronomy 32, right? So, you see that they were a people of no faith. So, Moses will communicate God's word to them so and to fit, to give them what they deserve. Are we together? So, Moses will communicate God's words to them, in parables. Say parables, everyone. So that's why Isaiah will now say, seeing, they do not see. Hearing, they do not what? So what will Moses do? Moses will use what they know to explain what they don't know. Are we together? And it takes a heart of faith to go past seeing what you know. Are we together? Moses will say, seed. 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 They were mostly into what? Horticulture, agriculture. Are we together? So they were to see seed without seeing seed. Are we here? Yeah. So in the real sense, Genesis is not a book to argue how long the world has been made. You know what you will eat yourself? You know when you're going towards that road, towards world maps, you know, by your side, there's one gutter there. Where do you find yourself? The book of Genesis, the book of the writings of Moses, is not to argue. So let me tell you this. Let me say it this way. Moses, there was no point in Moses' life when he was trying, according to his writing, where he was trying to prove the existence of the earth or the existence of the beginning of the earth. There was no point. Do you know what I'm trying to say? There was no point he was trying to prove. So in the real sense, yes, he will start from the conversation of man. Yeah, first man, the second man. The first man, the second man, they gave birth to this, gave birth to this. That's why you see the story seem not to be, they seem disjointed. See, it takes you to be a very insincere person to not agree that Genesis is disjointed. Are we here? Genesis is disjointed. The disjointment is plenty. Are we there? 1, 2, 3, go. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then shall you know all parables? So it means that there is a parable that is called the chief parable. Are we together? Are we together? Jesus says, if you don't know this parable, how will you know other parables? What was the next thing he says in verse 14? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. The sower soweth the word. Hello. The sower soweth the word. What does John tell you about the word? In the beginning was the word. What does Mark tell you about the word? He says, the sower soweth the word. What did Jesus tell you about all of that? He says, if you don't understand the parable of the seed, which is the word, hello, you will not understand, because all other parables are built on that parable. That is chief amongst others. Might not be directly built, but that is chief parable that aids your understanding of what? Other parables. So he says, the sower is the word, and the sower the word. So in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So what will you find in the beginning? Number one, God. Number two, for every beginning, there's a seed required. All together. So if there's a beginning, God is found. All together. A seed is required. The seed is the word. Who is the sower? Who is the sower? Who is the sower now? In the beginning, the sower sowed the word. Who is the sower that sowed the word? Okay. In the beginning, the farmer sowed the seed. In this beginning, who is the farmer? God. Who is the seed? God himself. So God is the farmer that planted himself as the seed. Did you get that? Yeah. So God is the farmer. Now, what did Jesus say about this parable? If you don't understand this, you will not understand other parables. Are we together? So God is the sower that sows. So for better understanding, you can say God is the sower that sows his son as a seed. Did you get that? Yeah? God is the sower that sows his son as the seed. God is the sower that sows the son as the seed. So when you say John 3:16, for God so loved the world in that he sowed his son in real sense, you know, by extension, we end up in the resurrection and all of that. So, in the, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, for God the chief sower loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to begin a new creation, and He gave Himself as a seed. That's John 3:16. You received, gives an instruction. He says, go ye into the world. Why don't you obey that instruction with all of your heart? Why don't you obey that instruction with all of your heart and do what requires to be done, or what is required to be done for one more soul, one more person? Are we together? The truth is that God is going to use us, or let me say it this way, it is God's will for the earth to replenish and be found in His kingdom, and He will do it through you and I. So there are people you will speak to that I will speak to and they will not listen to, but they will listen to you. And God counts on you for that responsibility. God's goal from time has always been a multiplicity of fruits. God's goal from time has always been a multiplicity of harvest, heavy harvest. Right? So why don't you make up your mind and say, this year, I will be fruitful. And the fact that I've received the seed of God, the indwelling of the Spirit, right? There's an instruction that comes with the indwelling of the Spirit. There's an instruction the Bible tells you in John chapter 14. It says, I will send you another comforter and it shall comfort you. If you pass it, now tells you, I will not leave you comfortless because I will come to you. So Jesus, who has come to you, came to you with an instruction. What's the instruction? He says, go into the world. The same instruction from time, it has never changed. Right? Genesis 1:26-27. And he blessed them and said unto them, yeah, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. Those are conversations of taking territories. You know what it means to take territories? Yeah? When you take the territory of darkness and bring them into light. You take the word of God which you've received as light and shine into the hearts of more men. You take that seed which you've received and plant into the hearts of more men. Right? So you plant light, you plant seeds, shine light, you are in obedience to Genesis 1:27. And you see the multiplicity of God's harvest. You see, the earth is really the Lord's. And we're together. God wants men saved. And you will not do justice to that without doing justice to yourself in being a thorough disciple. All together. He said, the fruit shall produce after His kind. There is a kind. So you are a kind that has been produced after the image or in the image of God. So it means that if Jesus, right, the original sower or the original seed, has an ability, you have an ability. So if Acts 10:38 tells you how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you know, with what? Holy Ghost and power. Who what? Went about doing good. If He had the Holy Ghost and power, you are of His kind. So it means you have the Holy Ghost and power. What is the Holy Ghost and power in you for? Going about to do good. But you would not go about doing good without knowing what you have. That's why we come to church. Yeah? So that this reflects by extension into a multiplicity of harvest on the streets. This reflects into a multiplicity of harvest in the hearts of people. Right? So take out time this year and be deliberate about shining light to dark areas. Take out time this year and be deliberate about being a farmer, God's own farmer. Are we together? Yeah? Don't see it as an insult to be called a farmer for Christ. Yeah, you are God's farmer. Are we together? You were first God's farmland. He has made you a farmer. Say, God has made a farmer out of me. Oh, say, God has made a farmer out of me. So apparently, in the real sense, when we're doing that debate, farmers are actually better than doctors. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are we together? Yeah. So the chief farmer, the chief agriculturist, has made an agriculturist out of you. Are we together? The Bible says, in Him was life, and the life was light of men. You receive His light. It means you receive light. What do? You shine that light you've received so that light will shine in the earth. See, there are people around you who have never heard the gospel. In your workplace, in your office, you can use any time to preach God's word. You see, make up your mind this year to use every slight opportunity to preach God's word. Let me say it this way. Make up your mind this year to use every slight opportunity to act your profession. What is your profession? Beautiful. Bow your heads and pray for a few minutes.